305 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. We have to simply start right off the bat with Lee Bogler. I know there's a lot to talk about, and I know the weather's the weather, and it's a good day, it's a bad day, it's this, it's that, but Lee Bogler is a VCU alum. And you heard Charles report on this about an hour or so ago, maybe 90, no, about an hour or so ago. I'm taking a look at the story now. Yeah, about an hour or so ago, it got this news that somebody had forced their way into the building of this Showcase magazine or Showmark magazine, Showcase magazine down in Danville. And they had a 5-gallon jug of gasoline, and they chased Lee Bogler through the building towards the front and then poured the gasoline on him and then set him on fire. And Lee Bogler apparently had identified who this person was while it was all happening. I don't know all the details. I haven't seen all of the video. I think it was a Facebook post on it. All I can say is this. If you know Lee, then you're touched by this. I can't sit here and tell you that Lee was a friend. We have one of those, like, you know, points of connection, so many degrees of separation. Somebody who is a friend reached out to me about an hour ago and said, did you hear about Lee Bogler? I said, yeah, I just read the story. Lee was the co-leader of the College Republicans at VCU with this particular friend of mine. And there are rumblings, apparently, that this attack on Lee somehow, some way related to the fact that Lee is a Republican. And he's been on the Danville City Council since 2012. He was 24 years of age when he was first elected, youngest ever member of the Danville City Council. And we all know Danville's been through some times. So I don't have anything else on that, but folks who might still have a connection to Lee, maybe you went to school with him at VCU, or maybe you've been part of his business dealings since then. I guess he was the sales director, is the sales director of this magazine down there. Let me know, all right? Because I guarantee you there are other VCU alum who know Lee, perhaps through the Alumni Association, or maybe you're actually, you went to class with him. The easiest way is always the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. There's a part of me hoping, it's going to sound really twisted, but there's a part of me hoping that it was just some random lunatic who did this. Because then you say, well, you know, what are you going to do? But if it really involves a political agenda, because Lee Bogler is a conservative Republican, there's a big issue. It's just appalling. Absolutely appalling. You and I know you're entitled to your opinions. I don't have to agree with them. I will defend your right to share them, but I don't have to agree with them. I'm going to tell you something. It's just outrageous. It's chilling to think that this sort of stuff could go on. And we have seen it in Virginia. There have been all sorts of attacks on Virginia Republican campaign offices. Haven't heard any condemnation from the Virginia Democrats. Maybe I've missed it, but I don't think I have. Did you listen to my friend Rich Herrera this morning, Richmond's Morning News? The highlight of the program obviously occurred at 7:35 when I was on the air. Although I was on the air this morning with Rich, we had a great time chatting about stuff. But if you did not hear Jennifer McClellan, Congresswoman, well, I've got to share some of her comments this morning. Jennifer McClellan, as you know, big time far left wing Democrat. Okay. Same thing. I'm back to this point of, hey, I don't have to agree with you, but maybe we should be telling the truth about things, right? She, just yesterday, we reported, was claiming that ICE was intimidating folks in our area, that she had heard from all sorts of, I guess, police chiefs and sheriffs and Commonwealth's attorneys inside her congressional district, the 4th District, claiming that these folks were no longer cooperating with law enforcement or cooperating with prosecutors. And I said yesterday on the air, I would love to hear the evidence. Just provide me. Who are these folks? Who are the chiefs of police who have told you this? Who are the sheriffs in the counties that are included in your congressional district who have said this? Who are the Commonwealth's attorneys that have reported this to you? Now, she still hasn't done that. But she was on This Morning with Rich. And let's just take a listen to some of it. Germ, I know we're using an ancillary device, I guess. It's just another equipment, so it might take an extra second. But we'll just go in order. Let's start with JM number one.
Well, let me start. You know, I always like to start where we can agree. And,
yes.
And I think there's broad agreement that our current immigration system is broken, that for over 30 years, Congress has not provided comprehensive immigration reform, and that we need to do that. But we need reform that is compassionate and that doesn't abandon American values of providing due process and treating everyone with dignity and respect, understanding that people are innocent until proven guilty. So what has disturbed me about the Trump administration's current immigration enforcement actions and what ICE is doing is it is betraying the American values of due process and compassion, particularly at Chesterfield. ICE is showing up at the General District Court. Now, General District Court is where traffic offenses and low-level misdemeanors are heard. So this is not, you know, the felonies, the violent crimes, like that's all up in the circuit court. So this is General District Court where people are coming to pay traffic fines, where they may be coming to, you know, you might have, you know, a trespassing case or something like that. And they're being detained and deported with no ability to prove whether or not they're a citizen. And when you combine that with what we've seen across the country, whether it is people who are literally being kidnapped off the street, put in a car, put on a plane in El Salvador. We know that there are American citizens and people lawfully present here who have been detained and deported with no ability to prove their citizenship. It is creating fear among immigrant communities, even among citizens who are afraid to come to the courthouse to seek justice for themselves, to comply with the law, or even to get marriage licenses. So when I hear people are not showing up to pay traffic fines or for their day in court for a traffic fine because they're afraid, am I going to be disappeared? People are afraid who are in violent domestic situations are afraid to call the police because they don't know if they or their partner could be detained, even if they're citizens. People are afraid to cooperate with police as witnesses or show up and testify in court because they don't know what's going to happen. Translators who provide translation services to ensure everyone has access to justice are afraid to do their job. I heard a story, and it's not just at the courthouse. This atmosphere of fear is prevalent among immigrant populations, even among citizens. I heard a story about a woman who went to work and was in a full-on panic because she didn't bring her passport with her. And she's like, what if I shows up and, you know, they take me and I can't prove I'm a citizen? And the panic that this woman had reminded me, like, my brain went to, do you have your papers in Nazi Germany? You know, in the courthouse, we say liberty and justice for all. But if you've created this atmosphere of fear where not everybody feels like they're going to get justice, that breaks down, in my opinion, due process and American values. And
all right, so let me stop it there. All right, so here's one of the big differences between myself and my friend Rich, who hosts Richmond's Morning News. About 4 minutes ago, I would have said, Congresswoman McClellan, I call Bravo Sierra. I think you are full of it. I think you are regurgitating pre-written talking points, and you are ignoring the underlying facts here, which are very clear. We are talking about people who have broken the law and are in the nation illegally. And I have looked through and through and through all of our legal codes, all the U.S. codes. I don't see anything there about, what did she say, compassion or anything else. Here's the law. Are you breaking the law? Now we're going to deal with the fact that you are breaking the law. And she's just throwing out these left-wing buzzwords again with no backup, no substantiation, absolutely nothing of fact present. Nothing. But hey, we have more of her. It's amazing what she was willing to say and do this morning. If you missed it this morning, yes, I'm going to play some of it this afternoon, but I would urge you to head on over to WRVA.com. You can listen to the whole thing right there. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Lots of great stuff coming my way and your way. Paul Perez, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, he's going to be with us at 3:35. My buddy Chris Beach from the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, he's going to be here at 4:05. We've got a little competition underway right now. There are four all-star teams, if you will, trying to raise money for Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. We have 2 weeks left in the big fundraising effort, and Chris will let us know how things are going and where Team Katz is situated at the moment. We've got lots of great people helping us. I remind you about that. Lots of great people. My friend Laura Sylvester, Pie Safe Baking Company, who is also in the running for Best Bakery in Central Virginia. She's been doing special donations for the last couple of weeks, selling her wares at the farmers market, stuff like that, and getting a chunk of it and then donating it to the Fatherhood Foundation, which is great. Wendy and John Yeoman over at Jake's Place, $2 off of every Jeff Katz sandwich is going to the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. We got a lot of people doing that. We got a Chipotle thing coming up next week. So we'll chat with Chris then. Also, Congressman Rob Whitman's going to join us at 5:05 because I have a sneaking suspicion that Congressman Whitman may have a thing or two to say about the comments from Congresswoman McClellan. Let's do JM2, please.
So we have, based on reporting nationally, there have been incidences that have been documented of that. But ICE is not being forthcoming about how many and who. That's why I filed a bill last year asking ICE and the Department of Homeland Security to identify every instance where a U.S. citizen or someone who is here lawfully has been detained and deported.
So respectfully,
the administration has admitted that that's happened.
Okay. Yeah. Well, is there any evidence of that? And you heard Rich jumping there. Hey, he started respectfully. And you know what's coming after somebody says respectfully? You got to get to brass tacks. All right, Madam Congresswoman. Have you got the receipts? Did you bring the receipts? Give us an example. Because so far I haven't heard anything from Congresswoman McClellan except the by the book, uber left wing agenda items to trash Trump and the brave men and women who are serving, protecting our nation. We have a couple of different agencies. People forget about this. You have ICE inside of DHS. You've got Customs and Border Protection. You have the United States Border Patrol. All of these fine men and women are out there doing their best, working hard, literally putting their lives on the line to protect our nation. And Jennifer McClellan stands there, recites these woke left-wing talking points, and does a terrible disservice to them. Paul Perez will join us at 3:35 and offer some of his perspective. He is the president of the National Border Patrol Council. It is 3:25. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. Congressman Rob Whitman is going to be here at 5:05. Obviously, with Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan saying the things she said this morning with my friend Rich on Richmond's Morning News, I want to get some feedback from Congressman Rob Whitman, because Jennifer McClellan was out there with a lot of stuff that... a lot of talking points, but no backup, no receipts, nothing. I am so happy as I read these numbers coming from D.C. talking about the border, right? For 4 years, I got to tell you, look, I'm an ex-cop, as you know. And I know that some of the finest law enforcement officers we have in America today are a part of the United States Border Patrol. And those folks who are Border Patrol agents, they are very much in demand by other law enforcement agencies because of their training, because of their ability to speak English as well as Spanish. That's part of the Border Patrol Academy. So, I mean, they're great officers, and to see them sidelined for essentially 4 years just sickened me. I'm very happy to see they're back to doing the job they do better than anybody else. Paul Perez is the president of the National Border Patrol Council, which represents those agents. I'm happy to say he is joining us. Paul, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for having me. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So give us a contrast. This is not your first year on the job. You've seen a thing or two during your time on the border. What's the big difference in the first 6 months of President Trump and, I don't know, the last 6 months of President Biden?
Complete difference. It's night and day. And, yeah, so I've been doing this job 28 years. Wow. And I can tell you, we went from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. What President Biden and his administration did to this country by unleashing chaos on the border is something that they have to be held accountable for. And right now with President Trump, Secretary Noem, Tom Holman, Mike Banks, our chief, Rodney Scott, our commissioner, we've got great leadership. They're allowing us to go out there and do the job, and we've secured the border. It actually took less than a month, you know, for us to actually get where we needed to be, and we've only improved since then.
Well, now, wait a minute, Paul. I remember President Biden saying, we need new laws. Apparently, we just needed a new president, huh?
That's all we needed. And, you know, if he'd only kept the policies in place that President Trump gave him on day one, he wouldn't have had the problems that he had. But President Trump came in, he changed a few policies, he allowed the agents and officers to do their jobs, and you know, within a month, we undid what President Biden did on the border. Now we've got to undo what he did in the country by releasing millions of illegal aliens into this country unvetted who have gone on to commit horrific crimes throughout the country.
No doubt. Paul Perez is joining us. He's the president of the National Border Patrol Council. Paul, if you don't mind, can you make clear for all of my listeners some of the distinctions? We talk about a number of agencies, everybody is under DHS, but you have the United States Border Patrol, you have ICE, you have Customs and Border Protection. How do the responsibilities and duties break down?
Sure. So the Customs and Border Protection officers, the CBPOs, they're the ones that wear the blue uniforms. They work at the ports of entry, at the land ports, and at the seaports, airports. Those are the guys that you see checking everybody coming into the country through legal pathways. Then you've got the Border Patrol, the green shirts. That's us. We work in between the ports of entries and everywhere else, including in the interior of the United States. We're looking to apprehend anybody that's trying to come in illegally in between the ports of entry. And then you've got, you know, our ICE officers that work in the interior of the country in different field offices, and they're responsible for enforcing the interior laws, such as those that have been released into the interior. Their job is to actually track them down and remove them. So you've got within ICE, you've got HSI, which is the investigative unit. You've got the Office of Removal Operations, and they're the ones that actually deport. And then you've got the ICE officers that are going out there looking for those people. So all within the Department of Homeland Security, we're all working together to implement Trump's vision of securing this country once and for all.
During the time before President Trump's second term, you said you've got 28 years on the job. That's a long time. You've seen a thing or two. What was the morale like amongst the Border Patrol agents?
Are you talking about during Biden's term
yeah.
or during Trump's term?
During the
Biden's
4 years
term,
of Biden.
It sucked. I mean, it tanked to levels that I'd never seen before. And I've worked for five presidents, and there's been highs and lows with them, too, but never as low as it was with Biden because, you know, he staffed his agencies. He staffed the Department of Homeland Security with open borders activists. And these are people that wanted nothing more than an open border. So they did everything they could to encourage and facilitate the entry of millions of illegal aliens that would otherwise not have been allowed into our country. And now we're having to go find them all. And so, look, we're the kings of hide and go seek. That's our game. That's what we do. So we're going to get these people. We're going to get them out of here. But what he did was unleash chaos on the border and throughout the country because of these people. So when he sidelined us, when he turned us into processors, took us off the line and put us behind a computer and said, process these people so they can be released for hearings that they're never going to attend, mm-hmm. that was the lowest of the low. That was something we did not sign up to do. We were disgusted by it. And, you know, a lot of people quit, a lot of people retired, and a lot of people were going to retire if somebody like Kamala Harris won. So thank God for President Trump, because a lot of our agents decided to stick around. They pulled their retirement paperwork, and they stuck around because they knew exactly what President Trump was going to allow them to do.
It is so good to hear, Paul. And you know, it's one of those things I referenced as a former police officer. I know how valuable your fellow Border Patrol agents are. I know that there are law enforcement agencies around the country who would snap up your guys and gals in a heartbeat. And to then deplete the ranks even further would be awful. But what was it that you guys were doing? I mean, I've seen the images of other times where you are on the border. You are seeing people sneaking into the country, breaking into the country, whatever terminology we want to use. But for 4 years under Biden, it just seemed to me, and no offense, but it was like he said to you guys, I want you to be DoorDash drivers and, you know, babysitters. You know, don't go out and enforce the law.
That's exactly what they wanted us to do. And so, you know, you had areas of the border, such as Eagle Pass, Brownsville, Texas, El Paso, Texas, Tucson, Arizona, San Diego, California, where they welcomed them by the thousands. You know, we were taking congressional delegations out to the border and showing them exactly what was going on, because a lot of this is something they had to see with their own eyes, because the pictures, the videos didn't do it any justice. We took senators out and they were able to see people crossing. We were there. The military was there. They didn't care, because as soon as they crossed, they knew they were going to be able to be released, granted asylum hearings for asylum claims that they know were not valid, because this is what the administration wanted. I believe they wanted to allow as many people into this country so they could change the electorate. Mm-hmm. They saw the illegals coming in as potential voters for the Democrats. That's what they were doing.
Wow. And, you know, asylum by definition, Paul, I'm not an attorney. I don't know if you're an attorney, but even I understand it. You're supposed to make that asylum claim in the first nation that you encounter after you've left your own, after you've fled your own nation because of the danger. You're not supposed to go on some like world tour to get to the United States, because, frankly, it's like hitting the lottery.
Yeah, exactly, and what they were claiming. And look, asylum's on the books through laws that Congress passed. The same congressmen that were crying and complaining about, you know, the laws on the books are the same ones that refused to do anything about it. So, you know, the asylum laws as written, these people did not qualify. And we knew they didn't qualify. Everybody knew they didn't qualify. But they wanted to stack it up because they knew the more people they allowed in, the further back the court system would be stacked. So mm-hmm. we had people that were being released with hearings 4, 5, 6 years down the road. Uh-huh. We knew they were never going to attend those hearings. And in the meantime, they were getting public benefits, which was another reason that constituents saw exactly what was going on and said, hey, enough's enough. Yep. We're not taking care of our own people. We're taking care of people that they're actually begging to come into this country. You know, the administration was like, hey, you know what? Fill out this app. We'll get you into the country and we'll release you into the interior. I mean, they were begging people to come in. Mm. All the while, they're kicking kids out of school so they can use them to house these migrants. And you know, it was ridiculous. They got so stupid. But I think people realized that they saw what was going on. And that's why President Trump was very successful, because yep. he did a great job in making sure that people understood exactly what was going on the border.
Let me ask you how proud you are, Paul Perez, as a career Border Patrol agent, of guys like Rodney Scott and Mark Morgan and Tom Homan, who, you know, have risen to the very, very highest levels.
Yeah, it's good because, again, President Trump sought out the expertise that he knew he needed. He didn't need to put a politician in there that was going to have to, you know, get a day one training. He put people that knew exactly what needed to be done and how to do it. And somebody like Tom Homan, who spent, you know, 30 years doing this job, he started off as a Border Patrol agent, so he knows our job, he knows the ICE job. He put these people in there because he had full confidence in their ability to get it done instead of just talking about it. And that's why he's very successful. He has good people surrounding him.
Yeah, he sure does. Paul Perez is joining us. Paul is the president of the National Border Patrol Council. So, Paul, where are you guys right now? Are you fully staffed? Are you equipped properly? Is there anything that we who are just out here in the public can do to support those Border Patrol agents even more?
Sure. We're better off than we've ever been. You know, under the Big Beautiful Bill, we're going to get 3,000 more agents. That's more boots on the ground that we'll be able to utilize throughout the nation in locations that we need them. We're also going to get, you know, millions and millions of dollars in technology that we've lacked, that we've really needed, that the Biden administration, you know, refused to give us. We're going to get our fleet upgraded. You know, we're going to get more vehicles out there because, again, that's something that Biden, you know, let slide. They didn't give us the vehicles we needed. We're going to get technology like counter drones, drone technology. We're going to get ground penetrating radar. We're going to get all the things that we need to actually gain operational control of the border, something that we hadn't been able to do under any other administration other than Trump's. And so we're going to get exactly what we need because he's listening to the agents on the front lines.
I love that. What about the wall? We heard a lot. President Trump said we're going to build a wall, and there were sections, and then there weren't sections, and then I think Biden's team was tearing him down. Where is all that today?
Yeah, so those morons that he put in there, day one, they said, stop building the wall. We're not even going to close the gaps. You know, he put probably the worst person in charge of Homeland Security when he brought Alejandro Mayorkas in and made him the Secretary of Homeland Security. He stopped all of this, the wall that was already authorized to be built. He didn't even let us fill in the gaps. He didn't let us close the gates. The material just sat on the side there, rotting away. And so with President Trump under the Big Beautiful Bill, he got the funding that we need so that we don't need to go back and ask for additional funding. This funding should allow us to complete the wall once and for all without having to go back, you know. And so it's going to go in the places that we need it. There should be no more gaps. You know, there are areas that we don't need wall, you know, and it's going to be completed the way it should have been during President Trump's first term had it not been for the Democrats that were fighting against what he wanted to do and withholding funding and playing all these games. Now they can't do that because the Big Beautiful Bill passed the budget that we need to complete the wall once and for all.
I love that. It is such major progress. Paul, do you mind sharing with people what we're dealing with on the border. And here's my perspective. We hear from Democrats, we hear from the leftists all the time, hey, come on now, Jeff, these are good folks. They just want a better life. They're trying to make a better life for their kids. And there's a lot of tugging at your heartstrings, those of us who are dads especially. Like, well, yeah, sure, of course I want my daughter to have a better life. But then you turn around and you realize, wait a minute, we just observed the National Day or the World Day Against Human Trafficking. That's what's really in place, right, with the cartels?
Absolutely. The cartels control everything on the southwest border. As far on the Mexico's northern border, nothing crosses without their, you know, say so. And so the criminal cartels, while they're at war with each other and with the Mexican government, they're also trying to move their product north into our country. And so what they're faced with now is an actual administration that's not afraid to take them on, that's not allowing them to operate as freely as they were before. You know, they had complete control of the southwest border under President Biden. And now with President Trump, where we have all of our agents and we have military support, they don't control the southwest border anymore. They are running Mexico's northern border, so they're going to continue trying to get their products across. But these guys are ruthless. They control everything from the human smuggling to the human trafficking and everything in between, including money and drugs. Money and drugs coming south and north, weapons coming south. They have their hand in everything. And so right now, they're not as successful as they were because of the policies and the strengths by President Trump.
Well, we are grateful to President Trump, but I want you to know, Paul, and I want you to share this with your membership. We're grateful to those men and women, folks like you in those green shirts right there, boots on the ground on the border. You are doing a difficult job. Thank God there's somebody now in the White House and throughout DHS. You've got folks who are supporting you. I just want you and your guys and gals to know we, the American people, really do stand with you. We support you. And I want very much to get you back on the air when you've got a few moments just to bring us up to date. And again, if there's anything that we can do out here in the civilian world, you need to let us know.
Absolutely. I appreciate being on, and thank you for your support. It really means a lot to us.
Thank you, brother. That is Paul Perez. Paul is the president of the National Border Patrol Council. These guys and gals are out there every single day doing the job, and God bless them. I just want them to be safe. They're making us safer, and we gotta keep thinking about them, keep praying for them, because that's really one of the most difficult jobs anywhere. Chris Beach, my friend, the executive director of the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, is going to pop by at 4:05, and Congressman Rob Whitman's dropping by at 5:05. Lots to get through today. Don't go anywhere, okay? 352, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.